The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. And it is that time of the show. The countdown to the start of the Michigan football season continues. So, Mr. Weintraub, how many days away are we?
So, Sam, we are inching closer and closer, and we are now 79 days away until the start of the 2021 Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store. I was there yesterday, had a lot of fun on a live edition of Watch Wednesday. Make sure to go to WTK.com/Father's Day for your chance to win a $100 gift card or a $500 gift card from our friends at Lewis Jewelers. Again, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket. And Sam, we are 79 Tom Keating days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Tom Keating was born September 2nd, 1942. He arrived on campus in 1960 out of Chicago, Illinois, St. Mel High School, and he was here from 1960 through 1963, a varsity Wolverine 61 through 63. Tom Keating was a defensive lineman, about 6'3", between 220 and 240. In his senior year of 1963, he was all Big Ten and team MVP. In the 1964 NFL draft, he was a fourth-round selection, 53rd overall by Minnesota. In the 1964 AFL draft, he was a fifth-round pick, 34th overall by the Buffalo Bills. He chose the AFL but eventually landed in the NFL after the merger. In 64 and 65, he played with the Buffalo Bills. From 66 to 72, he played with the Oakland Raiders. In 73, he played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in 74 and 75, he played with the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Keating was a two-time AFL All-Star, a three-time AFL champion, and he was named AFL All-Time Second Team when they had that announced as well. During his playing days, he used the less traditional four-point stance as a defensive lineman, get that low center of gravity down with the four-point stance. And then after football, he became a private investigator in the Bay Area of California. His brother Bill Keating also played at Michigan and in the AFL and the NFL. Tom Keating passed away in August 2012. We are 79 Tom Keating days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And Sam, the other number 79 on the alumni side of things, I probably don't have to give you a whole lot of information. If I said Brother Martin High School in New Orleans, that's probably all you need, right?
Yeah. Mr. Ward Manuel.
That's right. New Orleans product. Brother Martin High School was here as a varsity Wolverine in football from 1986 to 1989. Defensive tackle, 6'5", 260 pounds. His football playing career ended a little bit early with a severe neck injury, and then he lettered twice in track and field. Graduated from Michigan in 1990, went into administration at U of M after graduating, was the AD at Buffalo for 6 years, and we know the story there. The academics, football, the budget all dramatically improved during his time at Buffalo. Then he became the AD at UConn on February 12th in 2012. He hired a national championship-winning basketball coach. He was there to cut down a few nets with those teams on the men's and women's side. And then in 2016, he returned home, and he is now Michigan's athletic director. We are 79 Ward Manuel days away, Sam, until the start of the Michigan football season.
Yeah, you know what? A story of possibility, right? An example of what's possible, even if you don't play. And I think that Ward Manuel, who came in as a heralded defensive lineman, I don't pretend to know the rankings back at that time, I'm just going by the stories he tells. So came in as a very heralded defensive lineman, had his career derailed by injury, and still had a love of athletics and athletic focus, and was able to channel that love, focus that love, marry it with the opportunity that was still before him to have an education, to get an education at Michigan, and to have that education focused on the athletic sphere, if you will, and to still stay involved in a hugely significant way. Came up through the ranks in athletic admin and then worked his way into being an athletic director at Buffalo and then UConn and then, of course, Michigan. And that is for a guy who, again, his career was derailed, which most guys, if their careers aren't derailed, most guys' careers don't result in NFL career. So what can you do? What do you do? What can you still do in athletics? And he is a shining example of the potential, the possibilities there. At Michigan, his crowning achievement is the hire of Juwan Howard so far. I mean, it is, he's had a deft touch as far as that's concerned, man. You know, Kevin Ollie, say what you will about Kevin Ollie since Ward left, but initially and the ride they went on, Mr. Weintraub, looks like a pretty good move. You could even say, because he hired Turner Gill at Buffalo, didn't he?
I believe he did hire Turner Gill at Buffalo. He has had some pretty good hires at his different spots. The thing that stood out to me when his team, because we were there in 2014 down in Dallas when they cut down the nets, and I'll never forget this because I remember talking to Kim in our office, who's known the Manuel family for years, and she and I were talking before going down there because she was sending messages to Crystal and letting them know that they had a couple of bonus UConn fans for the weekend because we were adopting them as a squad because we sure the heck weren't rooting for Kentucky. Duke was probably there too. So anyway, so what I remember the most, though, is Ward, who is not necessarily a guy that's easy to, you know, to be discreet in a room or on a, you know, on one of those podium floors at a Final Four. But when his team is cutting down the nets and they're taking pictures and whatnot, he's in the background. They're kind of begging him. Maybe begging is the wrong word, but they're pulling him to get to come and cut his piece of the net to get in the picture. And he's Ward Manuel somehow hide. He's 6'5" and he's hiding in the back of a picture, right? But that's the kind of I saw that then, and it kind of showed the kind of character he had. And that was a lot, I think, stood out in my mind because it was just a year before when we had an AD that led our team out onto the floor and was there, you know, front and center cutting down nets at Elite Eights and stuff. And it just, the stark contrast really jumped out to me when I saw that then there in 2014.
I've heard you talk about that. I didn't see the UConn piece. I don't know.
You saw the other one, though.
Yeah, I saw the other one. It was hard not to see. Ira was very, very conspicuous, right? So, yeah, it is a stark contrast. Like I said, his crowning achievement thus far is the hire of Juwan Howard. But getting a lot of praise, I mean, rarely do you hear praise for it. I mean, an extension is an extension. It's, you know, they don't grab headlines, extensions. Other than to say, hey, they extended, but not, you don't see, you know, talking heads giving a school high marks because, man, that was an outstanding, that was pretty true negotiating when it comes to an extension. Most of the time, as was pointed out, I want to say, was it Pat Forty? Who said, you know, most of the time you just see either the same terms or better terms for the coach. It's 99% of the time an extension is more favorable to the coach. And I don't think that in this instance, the extension that was negotiated with Jim is viewed in that light. I think it's viewed as a very school-friendly extension. And that is, under the circumstances, another very, very laudable and commendable achievement for Ward Manuel. So, again, a great example of the possibilities, even when your playing career doesn't go the way that you want it to go. Number 79, Ward Manuel.
And it's also a great reason why parents get a nice sit-down with Ward during some recruiting visits because he can, hey, it doesn't always work out athletically, but, hey, here's an example. So, and I'm sure he's got plenty of friends and teammates that he can point to as others. So, yes, Sam, we are 79 Ward Manuel and 79 Tom Keating days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And one member of the roster, the spring roster, which is the last updated version of the roster, wears the number 79. He is now in his sophomore year on campus, did not see action in the shortened 2020 Michigan football season. He's now a 6'7", 302-pound sophomore offensive lineman for Mission Viejo, California, from J. Sarah Catholic High School. And his name is Jeff Percy.
Jeff Percy is a young man with a lot of potential. You know, a guy whose recruiting profile really came up in the latter half of his career. He's a true developmental story. I remember talking to Greg Biggins and Brandon Huffman about him, you know, earlier in his career. Just wasn't a guy who commanded a lot of attention from the scouts, but continuously got better. His body got better as well. And as he improved athletically, his game improved on the field. So coming into Michigan, though, you know, an injury setback that derailed his, you know, his hitting the ground running. And so now I think we see the trajectory really begin. I think last year was about rehab and recovery. And now fully mended from last season, you know, a guy with a lot of potential. I mean, you love those guys who can block out the sun, but can still bend well enough to let the sun through. Right. And that was the talk with Jeff Percy. I don't anticipate, you know, that at least in this season, barring something unforeseen, I don't foresee him being a part of the rotation, but down the line, I mean, you need to be building your line ranks for the future. And that's where I see Jeff Percy. This was maybe one of the guys that from a recruiting standpoint, Ed Warner was the most instrumental in. I mean, I think that his, you know, this was one where he really, the prominence in that recruitment was really based upon his connection, not only with that young man, but with that young man's coach through mutual relationships. And so I think, you know, what we see from Jeff Percy being on the roster, Jeff Percy's recruitment, you have to definitely tip a cap to Ed Warner on that one. And then we'll see where it goes. But a young man with a lot of potential, potential that I think we will see come more into play a little further down the line. Number 79, Jeff Percy.
We are 79 Jeff Percy, 79 Ward Manuel, 79 Tom Keating days away until the start of the 2021 Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by Lewis Jewelers, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.
You know, we are often critical of things that the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, what they do as governing bodies. I mean, not all the time. It's not like every time something comes out, we are hammering on, you know, the leagues. But there are times where they do something and it's like, oh, this stroke of genius. This is deft move. You are on target and on time and on target with your vaccination policy, NFL. This, Ira, is how it should be done, in my opinion, my friend. I know you talked about it, but it bears repeating. You are not forced to get vaccinated. But there are privileges, conveniences that come with the increased likelihood of not contracting the virus. There are greater conveniences and privileges that come with vaccination, and there are going to be some hurdles that you still have to clear if you aren't vaccinated, because you're possibly, even though the virus is not as prominent in society as it once was, due largely to the people who have gotten vaccinated, we know that those people can still contract the virus. Those of us who have been vaccinated can still contract the virus. Very, very low likelihood, though. Because that likelihood is very, very low, the things that we are asked to do, or that there, we'll talk about the NFL folks, the things that NFL folks are asked to do in terms of mask wearing, distancing, you know, weight room, training room, all of those things. If you put those people in those environments with similar people, then you keep the possibility of spread in your environment even lower. You inject an unvaccinated person into that same environment while there is still a reasonable assurance of safety based on upon the recent based upon some of the recent guidelines that have come out, some of the guidelines that have come out in recent weeks and months, that people who are vaccinated can go out in public without a mask. Even though those possibilities are lower than they were, they're still higher than if everyone in your environment was vaccinated. So as such, the NFL has said, okay, unvaccinated people, you're fine. I mean, we're not going to force you to get vaccinated, but you have to wear a mask. But when it comes to, and I know you went over these, Ira, but let's go over them again for, for the sake of being thorough. And I know we got to get to a break shortly, so I'll go over them now. Unvaccinated players will continue to have to wear masks at team facilities and on road trips. That's not, in the grand scheme of things, that's really not that cumbersome, right? That's not that restrictive.
Now, there's two or three on this list, Sam, that are very glaring that you look at and go, that's the one that's going to hold up, that could hold up a player big time.
Right, right. But what, so the mask thing is the least of the hindrances. But the new restrictions, like on road trips, having to fly separately from the team charter if you aren't vaccinated. Yeah. But it's that environmental scenario that I laid out, right? Inject all vaccinated people into the environment. There's still a chance to contract the virus for those people, right? There, just because you got vaccinated doesn't mean you can't get the virus. It just means it's really, really low. But the odds of contracting the virus when everyone in the environment is vaccinated is even lower. You inject a person into that equation who hasn't been vaccinated, and guess what? The odds of the virus being in that atmosphere gets higher. So flying separate from the team charter, you can't see anyone who's not on the team's official traveling party on these road trips, including friends and family. You can't use hotel spas, gyms, or pools either. Again, your unvaccinated players can use the team facilities, right? But they have to remain physically distant. They can't use spas or saunas. They can't use the cafeteria. They can't use the weight room when there are more than 15 people in it. So, Mr. Weintraub, look, I don't think there's any problem with this at all. You can still do your job. You can still show up. Not going to bar you from the premises. You can still travel. You can still do all of these things unvaccinated, but there are going to be some major restrictions for you to do so we can keep this quotient the same, this environmental quotient the same of the potential for virus in our midst, right? The potential for exposure to the virus. And this is one that is maybe the most limiting. They would still face the mandatory 5-day quarantine if contact tracing reveals close contact with someone with COVID. That is not the case with someone who's been vaccinated. So it shall be interesting to see how or if this affects anyone, Mr. Weintraub. But I think it is a great policy, personally. I think it's a terrific policy. I think this is how all the leagues should do it, in my opinion. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the T.